2017, and we're collective bargaining at the University of Central Florida with the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees team and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. And it is 12:15.
Already July 11th.
Wow.
It's already July 11th. The minutes look okay to me. But
look okay to me as well.
Okay, good.
Just one quick question. Do you have an idea of whether the July 27th bargaining date is firm, up in the air?
I know I won't be there, but I don't know. Let's just figure it all out today. We don't have to worry about it.
That's fine by us.
I'll let you know, John.
Okay. Yeah. It's okay to say that you don't know. I'm just curious.
I'm not.
Yeah, we have a conference that we're sponsoring on campus that we're all supposed to be attending, but I thought, well, if I could maybe, skip out for 2 hours and come do bargaining.
Okay.
I'd leave Charlie there, but and they may not be happy about me skipping out, but that's okay.
It happens to be during the time that we're on for the presentation.
Oh.
I didn't realize that.
That's okay. I got it. We'll be fine.
may have to look it in.
I was just looking to see if we could move it like one day to the left or the right, but it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't.
Oh, well, if we could do that, that would work. Yeah.
I just didn't want us to have to. I wasn't looking to cancel the meeting. I was looking at Tuesday or Wednesday that week, maybe, and I have to check with Mattamore's office. I know that Mr. Mattamore had some other travels that he may have planned, so.
Can you go one day either?
Friday is not good particularly either, but.
I have bargaining at FSU on the 26th, but.
Tuesday? And I'm not looking at mine either, but.
The 26th is a Wednesday.
Yeah, that was the day before the current bargaining session.
Yeah, and the Tuesday of bargaining at UWF. It's the season.
Well, we hadn't checked with your office yet because Sherry had said that we would just go ahead and hold the meeting, and I said, okay, then I'll just hold on the floor to the other place.
You know, I have Monday. I actually have a hold on Monday for UCF-UFF bargaining.
That's great. How convenient.
Monday the 24th or the 31st?
24th.
It works for me.
All right.
Well,
tentatively. I'll have you on the schedule.
3/24.
Yeah, I think we held that day.
Yeah, we already had a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right,
yeah,
so
July
24th,
we had a day.
We'll finalize and we'll send you
that.
Chuck.
Do you remember that, Chuck?
No.
Okay, good. Chuck, do you remember that?
Nope.
You're the engineer. Chuck doesn't.
And I'm assuming it'll be noon to 2. On that day, but again, we'll finalize and let you know, John, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Of course.
Please, John.
And if you could pass these out, Charles.
Can I get one more?
Since we have a few. Can we do introductions?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Sorry.
Let's start with Ashley and go around the room.
Well, you know Ashley, okay.
Mm-hmm. Probably good.
Ashley Connors.
Margaret Malachek, Provost Office.
She works with Ron.
Lynn Hilton. Lucretia Cooney, Faculty Excellence.
Chuck Riley.
Michael Mattamore.
Sherry Andrews.
And Ronnie Kurosik just joined us. And Charlie Pepper.
Sarah Lovell, HR.
Jim Tolowitz, Edmund Sherlock, and Kevin Sherlock.
Ryan Nunes, Provost Office.
Cynthia Mears, a reporter for NSM.
Lee Ross, the UFF.
And John Fox, the UFF.
Great.
And not that we owe explanations, but part of the reason that we have had so many more people at these sessions this time is because we've realized that the support team that, Faculty Excellence has to implement the tips and RIAs and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie's office, Jim and Helen have to do all of the salary calculations and all that. So the people that operationalize what we bargain have in the past given us fits because they've said you bargain something that just
watching the dance on every day. Let me just tell you.
Yeah. So we're trying not to put more of a burden on the people that have to actually do the work to get this stuff going.
John, what we've given to you and to Lee for your consideration is an Article 23 on salaries. This is our third proposal on salaries. and I'll kind of hit the high points, and please stop me and ask questions anytime you'd like.
Do you have an extra copy?
Do you need an extra copy of this?
Yeah, I don't have one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you...
I'm sorry, no.
Oh,
I had it, but I was just slow in passing.
Oh, okay. We got it. We're all good. On 23.2 and promotions, and some of these things we've already put on the table, but I'll just go through them again. We are proposing an increase in the promotion compensation for professor, senior instructor, and the other ranks identified in 23.2B to 10%. We are proposing an across-the-board salary increase of 1%. We are proposing a one-time payment of $610. We're proposing a merit salary increase of 1.25%. We are proposing equity increases from a pool to be funded at $250,000. And I think you're familiar with the way we identified the distribution of that money. There's a change in the number of tips and RIAs, and Sherry, could you direct John to that and lead to that?
Yeah, what we did in order to come up with just a little bit more money and to respond to your concern that we have some merit on the table is that we took five awards from the tip category and five from the RIA. So instead of 55 each, we have 50 each.
And then we are striking the language, which was the language we put in last year, I think, on page 4 at subsection I, which says that if there's recycles in excess of 50, those recycles that are in excess of the of that breakpoint would be pooled back and recycled. So we just...
Basically getting rid of recycles.
Getting rid of recycles.
Or just cutting them.
But now we didn't start with recycles unless they happen to number in excess of 50 in a given year. So that's our salary proposal. I have an extra one if anyone needs it.
What?
I have an extra salary proposal.
Yeah,
if someone
needs it. Made 15, so there should be enough to go around.
Everyone? You need one?
So what were your thoughts about moving all of the merit money that's available in TIP, RIA, and SOTL out of the award programs and just putting it straight into merit?
You mean cutting TIP, RIA, and SOTL altogether?
Mm-hmm. We brought that up as a possibility last time, and sort of eyebrows went up on your side. So
well,
I was wondering about...
We cut.
You did a little bit.
Yeah,
but
we did, but... No, the president and the provost would never approve that.
Okay.
I mean, I know, because the president loves tips.
I think the reaction was because you had worked hard to add so many more awards. That was kind of our reaction. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
No, it wasn't adding. It was just shifting how they were allocated, really.
Well, no.
Because there are a bunch of recycles that would have come free. It was over 800 recycles at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we were leveling them, I guess.
Did you want to talk about the proposal that we had, maybe?
I mean, I can just tell you that I know that they will not approve that. We would not. They'd never give us the authority to abolish those programs.
Understood.
The president considers TIP to be one of his...
Finest
initiatives, I suppose. I mean, that's not quite the right word, I suppose.
But even the fact that we're opposed to them in loss, he would still not be in favor of abolishing them?
Are you aware of the history of our bargaining system? When we tried, I think it was in 2006, the union proposed something very similar in the reaction of the faculty at that time?
No, but could you inform us of that fact?
Yeah, it was overwhelmingly negative.
To abolish them.
To abolish them.
I don't know for what reason, though.
Because the faculty like them.
That's certainly not the case anymore.
No.
Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and why don't we talk caucus?
Yeah,
no, we'll leave because there's only two of us.
Okay.
It's a lot easier for us to migrate.
So you haven't been to, you haven't been to a bargaining session before. Mm-hmm. So this Hedwig the
Hedwig
owl.
The owl. Yes.
Okay, Ashley.
Yep.
That's going okay.
Good caucus? Yeah,
we have just a couple of questions for you. So
okay.
You'll have the first question, and then I'll have the second one.
Good.
We'll go from there.
Yeah, the first question concerns promotional increases, 23.2 D.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that you guys are still entertaining a 10%
mm-hmm.
increase. Is there any aversion to going higher? Because at a minimum, I thought that, well, I know within our collective unit, we think something along the lines of 12% would be more than reasonable because you guys are splitting the difference. Originally, we had proposed from assistant to associate from 9% to 12%, and from associate to full from 9% to 15%. So we figured that so that 10% is really not much of an increase. It's more of a friendly gesture towards good faith bargaining. We thought a 12% increase would be far more meaningful to all parties concerned. We're just wondering, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, why the aversion to something higher?
Well, there's no philosophical aversion to something higher. There's a financial aversion to something higher. We don't have the money this year.
I like the idea you see it as a friendly gesture, though. That's good.
It's still an increase.
Yeah.
And what's your second question?
Well, it wouldn't take effect until the following year, right? So it would be
right.
For the cycle for the folks. It wouldn't be in this budget year, but the following budget year.
Right. We don't know what, because of the way the, we lost money this year on our performance funding. If we get some of that money back next year, we can, take another look at this. But if we don't, if we lose money again, we're not going to commit ourselves to much to a more significant increase until we have a little bit better sense of where we're going to be in that cycle.
Even at the risk of losing faculty because the salaries aren't maintaining parity with our competitors.
Well.
Especially those that are being promoted up to associate level and full level. So they've already gone through the gauntlet and demonstrated that, they're capable of performing at high levels.
John, what can I tell you? It's not a question of not thinking that it's a good idea. It's just a question of we don't have it.
How we spend what we have.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
right.
A question of priorities.
Right. And I think the long term with the increase in the percentage, you actually decrease the prospects of market equity and inversion and issues like that by default.
I have no quarrel with you on what you're saying. I just know what we can afford to do now. I'm not saying that we would not go higher in the future, but I'm just saying what we are able to do this round.
Right. And we're ever mindful that it's not a fixed cost per se, because each year you have different people applying, different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Some years you have a whole watershed, other years
yeah.
are relatively few.
Well, on the associate level, it's going to be a lot more in the coming years because
right.
we've hired so many new people. So you're going to really ramp up that number of people that are going to be moving from assistant to associate.
But you're projecting at least 4 or 5 years down the road based on the last 2 years of hires. Right? So that would kick into like 4 or 5 years from now, basically.
Well, right.
Yes, that is ample room to make good improvement, basically. That was my question.
Okay, so my question was on 23.4, other increases. And so last time, we were really close on the across the board. I think we were actually below you by a tenth of a point. And so we were wondering what the rationale was of proposing an across-the-board salary increase that doesn't match the inflation rate. So you've got faculty who are doing very well by all measures, but yet their salary is going to fall behind inflation. And so they're not, salaries don't keep pace with inflation.
Sean, we will split, what we have to put on the table is 2.25%. We'll split that however you want to split it.
So you're amenable to moving that over?
We would put the whole amount in across the board if that's
okay.
What you would want.
But that obviously includes a reduction in the tips and rebates of the 5 each.
Five each. That gets us that extra 0.25%.
It doesn't really, but it gets us some.
Yeah, it gets us some.
Because 10.
Gets us
10.
A little bit. Gets us
close. They're not the equivalent in terms of cost.
And how far would you be willing to go in terms of moving money, further money, out of the incentive award programs and into just merit salary increase?
You mean out of the tips and RIAs? Would we cut more?
Yeah, the whole... I mean, how far within that pool? I mean, what's the real sacred cow? Is what we're asking.
Sacred cow. What's meaningful to us?
Let's put it this way. I had to make a pretty hard argument with the provost to get him to reduce those awards at all, because he considers that the merit pool, basically, since we don't have anything or much of anything in merit. And as I said last time, the way we calculate merit here, with 94% of our faculty members qualifying for merit increases, it's basically it's a wash. It becomes almost across the board. So what he considers to be the merit pool now are things like tips and RIAs and socials. So getting him to reduce that much further, it's going to be a very hard sell.
Well, obviously, from our perspective, you know, we know that we have 94% of our faculty in a given year are doing great work, because by any measure, we're teaching way more people than anybody else at any school in the nation. So that alone merits consideration. And we're holding our own. We're actually punching above our weight in research, given the number of research faculty. So, you know, that 94%, I've been places, you know, there's not much dead wood at UCF. That's one of the unique things among the faculty.
You
go around departments and folks are pulling a heavy load, and they're doing remarkably well given the challenges we've got, which now includes, you know, it's not just more students, but it's more diverse student body in terms of preparation for college and backgrounds and things, and that presents unique challenges too. And the faculty have been very successful in dealing with the increased numbers and the increased preparation levels and the need to have more additional time with individual students and things like that. So that really should be recognized. And the issue we've got still with the incentive awards is that there's a small percentage of people who are can apply for those in every given year. And especially in the tips, there's quirky rules. So a really great example that was brought to my attention, we've got an associate chair, former interim chair, I believe, who's now an associate chair. Most of his teaching occurs during the summer. Well, summer teaching doesn't count towards the tip eligibility. And so you've got someone who's been good enough to be the department chair for quite a while and now is serving the associate role, and he's knocked out because of when he's teaching.
Right.
And so there are all these quirks that we've got in that system that it just leads to really massive inequities.
And if I could add, it further exposes faculty on 12-month contracts, right? Who spend about a third of time teaching in the summer, but are not recognized as such.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of those. We've tried to move most of those on to 9.
Right, but the ones that we have are they suffer good disservice, right?
Well, they're earning annual leave, and they have different responsibilities.
Yeah.
Well, I guess going back to your question, John, I don't think there's a lot of interest in reducing the number of awards this cycle lower than what we've put on the table. And you know, like I said, you know, if an award's $5,000, if you eliminate 10, that's $50,000, and that's not moving the needle all that much.
But if you eliminate 150,
yeah,
it's $750,000, right. And the, you know, the future. So we already, by not recycling awards in the last round, we released, you know, a tradition of having those build up, and that was 800 awards. That's $4 million.
Well, I mean, I think
that was quite a substantial amount.
Wait, say that again?
So when we broke the cycle of having the recycles
mm-hmm.
accumulate, because they're accruing, right, and it's exponential growth. Every year you're adding a certain number, and they don't ever leave the system. So that was going up like this.
Right.
And it was already up to the point where it was 800 awards at $5,000 each, which is a lot of money. Remember we spent all that time
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out, because we thought the initial difficulty was the fluctuation in the number of awards. We spent all that time going back and forth
mm-hmm.
trying to find a way. And then we found out, no, it was really just the recycles.
Right.
Okay, which now in your proposal, we've seen again that it's the recycles.
Right.
So why not just do away with the system? It has huge
right.
inequities in it. The faculty don't support it anymore.
Right. The faculty view them as divisive. They
yep.
force faculty to compete with one another for a minuscule amount of money, which is unfair to faculty.
$5,000 to base is
well,
a minuscule amount of money.
Divided by 5 years, because every five
right.
years, it's $1,000 a year.
If you don't get it, it's really a disincentive for many faculty, and it lowers their morale, it lowers their interestedness in working for the betterment of the system and so forth. Is really a divisive element that I'm kind of surprised that you want to retain something that's ostensibly divisible to faculty.
Plus, it's a huge amount of work to put those folders together. I mean, it's a week's worth of work. So
well, we get very different feedback from faculty.
Of course.
Yeah, the ones that got it.
Yeah, the people who have it. Well, even some of the people who haven't don't support them anymore. They've gotten to the point where they don't like the system.
Well, I think the thing about it is, John, is that there you go. I mean, we think the system is good and works and has a lot of benefits, and to the success of the university. And we think that the faculty do like it. Or at least a large part of the faculty like it. I mean, are there people out there who probably do not like it? Well, that's probably true. There's probably people out there who are going to say that it wouldn't like to cross the board. But I think going back to your question, I don't think our position will be to further reduce the number of awards in this bargaining cycle.
What about subsequent bargaining cycles? I mean, is this something that will phase out if and when UCF has new leadership in the top position?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to answer that, but I'll say this much. You know, I mean, we certainly cannot predict the future, and I don't know what, you know, how the funding of salaries in the state university system might change going forward, or at the University of Central Florida. I mean, we're going to come to the bargaining table every year and take whatever position you put on the table back and give it serious consideration. It's certainly, I think it was something that we really did not anticipate, I guess is the word, before it was raised. I think actually, I mean, maybe you thought that we anticipated it even today, but even what you said last time, I think we went back and thought,
mm-hmm.
well, they're willing to experience some reduction, like the 10 we brought to the table today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we even heard you as saying that you
no.
wanted a deep reduction in them.
Well,
when
Sherry had
talked about last
on
time.
John's initial suggestion. So she basically opened the door to the prospects of doing whatever we could with this.
Yeah.
But we didn't think, but it was in your mind, set the limit to 10.
We're just exploring kind of
I know.
You're right. It's a wholesale
willing
change.
From the way that we've been doing business for a very long time.
That's what I followed up on, but the idea of getting rid of them all together never even occurred to me, if that's what you were suggesting.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it didn't, and part of it was because it was so poorly received the last time the UFF tried to do it. It didn't occur to me that you would be thinking about trying to do that again.
Well, the sentiments of our membership have changed, of the unit has changed quite substantially.
Yeah. Well, that could
be. In two separate polling events, how many years apart? 2 or 3 years apart. Plus, I got an earful at FCTL last summer, just unsolicited. Folks just recognized my name in the name tag, and I got a real earful. I mean, you don't have to respond.
Well, no, we don't have to respond. I mean, we appreciate that, John, but we have, I think, responded actually. But you know, when people bring up a new perspective on things, I mean, it's certainly. Sometimes these ideas take time and take thought. And who knows what, you know, how it'll be received, or it'll be in the future, or where we go with, you know, our needs. So, but I think we can answer both of your questions with it. This is the best that we were able to do, and it required an extension of the funding beyond the 10 that awards that are eliminated. And we have, as Sherry said, flexibility in terms of the administration of these dollars. So
what about in terms of the administration of the awards, if we choose to go down that path?
You mean how the process,
yeah,
how they're
process,
applied?
The eligibility, the things that...
Well, I think there's...
The inequities, the things that perpetuate the inequities in the system.
I think we have had an ongoing conversation over the last two cycles
about
that.
We made a lot
of
changes in the... You're talking about the eligibility.
Yeah,
we made a lot
eligibility.
Of changes in the way that
the procedures
to make sure that we eliminate what you perceive to be inequities in that would keep people. In terms of eligibility, honestly, we have tried very hard to identify more than a handful of people here and there scattered across the university who are not eligible for one of these awards, and it's pretty hard to come up with them who could not be eligible.
We have whole job classifications who have never received these awards. Whole entire
units. He's talking about instructional faculty, I guess. He's talking about librarians and instructional faculty.
And those are some of the places where we have salaries that are way below
what
the standards are just within the state.
How do you not receive one also?
Well, if you're eligible and you haven't received them, that's a whole different question. I'm not sure that that's necessary. You know, how you determine whether it is right or wrong that you may have applied and didn't get one. Well.
The TIP process is so invariable across all the colleges. I'll offer you an example. In one college this year, the people who eventually won a TIP award were graded positively in categories that had very little to do with teaching. In fact, when we deconstructed some of the data elements, we found that those had the highest teaching evaluations via the STIs. They were least likely to receive a TIP award because the TIP award was factor to give to the award to those who, for instance, had shown a commitment to teaching If I was to ask someone in here, how would you measure commitment to teaching? You'd probably have to think about it, right? Once you can all come up with measures, you know, what's that look like? But then when you come with different constructs to get an award, it's not uniform across all the colleges, and that's what makes it problematic. And because the processes across the different colleges are so invariable, you really can't put any reliance into the process. And therefore, the product is flawed, and many faculty view the TIP process and the awarding of TIPs as a flawed process. And that's one of the reasons why it's frowned upon.
But if they're not competing against other colleges, they compete within a college.
Well, which makes it even worse, because each college has its own set criteria.
Well, so where's the problem with that? Because you're only competing within your own college.
It's
so you're
faculty-driven process.
You're competing against other people that are being judged
the
by
same
the same criteria.
Because
the
faculty within that college who thought they would get a TIP once because they were so great in the classroom, at least like to get it. That's why. If that happened, that tells,
so,
it
but,
tells
but
you.
But wait a minute, you're basing whether they're great in the classroom just on their SPOIs.
No, it's a whole slew of factors.
Okay.
Creativity, innovation, commitment to teaching, STIs, and so forth.
Well, I mean, it's not. We're not going to be able to.
That's not something that.
This is not something we can deal with. That we can bargain whether the process in your particular college is fair or not fair.
Well, rather than deal with a flawed process, for some faculty, it's much easier just to get rid of it and substitute with something else.
You're assuming that getting rid of the TIPS reus and SOTLs with that money would automatically go back into salaries.
Well, we could negotiate that.
Be careful what you wish for.
All right, well, Given what we have articulated today, John, did you want to take time and think about it and come back with a counter? I think where we have flexibility is how to spend the 2.25% as to either merit pay pools or across the board. We'll let you tell us how you want that spent.
Well, we'll come back with a proposal next time.
Yeah.
It'll almost certainly place the across-the-board salary increase at the inflation rate, and then we'll continue to negotiate the rest. And then we'll see where we go from there.
Just out of curiosity, what would be the inflation rate that you're paying on? I just wanted to know the number.
I think there's another update coming out pretty soon. Right now it's at
1.9, okay.
Yeah.
So if it's more, your proposal will be more, and if it's less, your proposal will be less. Okay. I'm just curious what the number was.
All right.
I mean, we've been very consistent about that in our proposal.
Mm-hmm.
It was higher in the first proposal because the inflation rate was higher at that point. Yeah, the Fed's target is 2.2%, but it's below the target a little bit right now.
And just so that everybody understands what we will take away from today's meeting,
mm-hmm.
is that you have either floated the concept of further lessening the number of awards to some level less than what we have proposed, which is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't made a formal proposal of a reduction to a reduction amount. That's something you've talked about.
We could bring that next time as an option.
Yeah, I just want to know whether we're going back with a proposal in hand or with just a discussion point that may manifest itself in a future proposal.
It may be one or the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or neither.
Or neither.
Got it. Okay, good.
You usually state that more eloquently. I can't remember how you do it, but it's going to be a consideration for us as well.
All right.
And a lot of it is it comes from matters of first principle, too. So if Barbara were here, you know, this is her research area, and the way to incentivize a workforce is to have lots of small awards. Having a few large awards is a disincentive. It doesn't work. So it's counterproductive.
Well, except that the argument that you made to us last year when we wanted to have small awards was that nobody would apply for an award that only paid you $2,000.
Right, because of that, the amount of extra work. But the flip side of that is if you've got folks spending all their time in the annual evaluations and then there's no merit pay associated with it, we hear this all the time, what's the point in doing it? I said, why should we spend all this time accounting for everything we did and then you're not rewarded for it? So folks feel like faculty are very pressed for time. Everybody's working really hard. Everybody's putting a lot of hours in. Anywhere where we can free up time to do our teaching and service and research commitments, our unit wants to do. And
well,
the tip one is really onerous. That's a week, at
the
least.
Provost would probably actually prefer to put all salary increase into merit and none across the board, but he recognizes that that's not the probably the easiest sell. So if you want, faculty want it in merit, they can have it all in merit.
Well, it's a question of how the merit's allocated. And see, right now, it's all, or almost all of it, at least in our discussion, is in now in the left in the incentive awards. That's the only place
okay.
it would be.
So
see.
If I'm hearing you right, then what you're talking about is taking the incentive award money and moving all of that money into merit.
Right.
Right.
As a possibility.
If you think about it, that's really your default position down the road.
We just don't want to be we don't want to be disingenuous. We think as a team that we would not be able to sell that.
Yeah.
We would not be able to sell it to the administration or the board at a ratification vote. So.
And just for merit, if we go beneath 1%, it becomes so expensive to implement that it's almost not worth it. Just putting that out there. I mean, you don't have to consider that, but it's something that's a consideration with the people that actually have to do the merit. So if we're doing less than 0.5% of merit, it's the effort involved and the reward per person is not all the difference.
Yeah, I think what they're suggesting is that we stay at the...
No, I get that. I'm just saying
okay.
that if we're distributing the money in such a way that he, Manamore said, 2 and 2.25 can go any way, but when you start getting below 1% on merit, the cost of executing...
No, but that's
is
a good
less.
Point. Charlie, I didn't mean like we would dice it up to the point where the merit pay... part of it would be more administrative and faculty challenging than the value.
I was just looking at 1.9 and thinking, okay, if you take away, that doesn't leave much left. So just want to throw that out there as a thought.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is 1.9 and 0.35 is really not a workable.
No, not particularly, no.
From
an
operational
nicest way
standpoint.
Possible.
Got you.
But you should apply the same philosophy to the incentive awards, especially the tips. Figure out what the cost-benefit ratio is. A lot of faculty have done that calculation themselves and said it's not worth it.
Which is what you just said.
Yeah.
Are we seeing a change in the number of people that apply for tip?
I would have to look at that, but right off the top of my head, I would say no, it's increasing.
Yeah, so we're not seeing what you're telling us we ought to see. People are still applying like gangbusters.
Well, it's because we have new faculty coming in. That's why.
Well, yeah, but they're not
eligible
for 5 years.
Right, but as they become eligible, they
yeah.
do then. Yep.
So you guys are limited to your percentage increase, right? Okay. We'll just.
I think we'll come back and give you a proposal next time.
Okay.
But I think especially in terms of the across the board, it's going to be much more similar to what we both brought to the table last time. We were pretty close at that point on that issue.
Yeah.
So we can work, build off of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That sounds good, John. Thank you. Anything
Great.
Else? All right, I guess we're done.
Okay.